Welcome to Changemaker with founder of Gypsy Tea and social entrepreneur Zina Muzyka.
This new podcast is to help you embrace change and experience amazing people and entrepreneurs. We're going to be sharing secrets, habits, and change-making abilities with you so that you can apply them to your life and make a life of your dreams.
This is Changemaker with Zina Muzyka.
Welcome to Changemaker. You can find us on social media, Twitter at Mistress of Tea. You can find us on Facebook at /ZHENA. You can find us on Instagram at Zina1. And when I say us, I kind of really mean me. As the host of Changemaker, I'm Zina Muzyka. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a very exciting guest. I have a girl crush on her. And she found me through LinkedIn, called me on the phone, and I was on a train coming back from a conference in San Diego, and I thought, my God, I'm going to know this woman for the rest of my life. I love her. So Helene Lerner is an author and independent public television host. She's an Emmy Award-winning executive producer, and she's a workplace consultant. And we're at the studios here in New York at CBS, and she just consulted with my producer, and I think his life is all that much better. She covers a wide array of issues such as harnessing personal power and changing times, calculated risk-taking rather than the uncalculated kind, reinvention, breaking barriers, and more. Since 1994, Helene has produced and hosted more than 20 televised specials under the umbrella of her company, Creative Expansions. I just love the name. She received American Public Television's MVP Award for her outstanding contributions to public television. Her career began as a teacher in the New York City public school system. Using her innate business instincts, she later pursued sales and marketing assignments during the 80s, working her way up through the management ranks of the New York Times. She holds an MBA from Pace University, a master's in education from City College in New York City, and she's also the founder of WomenWorking.com. And she is on Facebook at Women Working, and their posts go viral almost every day. So welcome to Changemaker.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here and to support your new show, Zina. You're the best.
Thank you.
You're the best.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I'm wondering, so you started in corporate America in the 80s. And did you have a sense of this holistic viewpoint that you have now? Did you just walk into it and figure it out? Where did the spirituality come in, and how did that inform your choices?
Well, I'm a very successful woman now, but I wasn't always that successful. And in my early 20s, I was living on the west side of New York City. It was like one of my first apartments. And I found myself on a Saturday night opening the window, and I had a foot out the window. I was going to kill myself. I was so desperate. I had been obese. I was 50 pounds overweight. I had all the potential in front of me, but it felt really dark. And I say this because some of your listeners might not be in the place where I am now, but I want, and like yourself, because I know your story, it wasn't always this way.
Yeah.
So what happened is inside me, there was a little voice as I had my foot out the window saying, "Don't do it, Helene. There's more to life. Go and look for it." Mm. And in that week, it was hard for me to reach out for help, but in that week, I started to reach out for help because I had been so low that there was no place to go, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about that too. Desperation. There's a gift of desperation.
Yeah, and so who was the first person you asked for help from?
I think I asked my aunt, you know, "Do you know any place that can help me with my weight loss?" You know, because that was something in my family, you know. Mm-hmm. Only for me, it wasn't just like losing a little bit of weight. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of weight that was now on my body because I was eating for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. I was eating when I was sad. I didn't even know how to identify my feelings. It just went into my mouth. It was a way of soothing myself. Only in the end, it wasn't like that. So I asked her, and I remember she told me about a support group, which I'm not going to mention now because there are many support groups in the world now for this. And she also told me about a guy in Forest Hills who gave you amphetamines, and I did both. The guy in Forest Hills that had did amphetamines was in prison a few years after. And the support group that I went to was amazing. And I heard people talking like I felt. I didn't even have a language for how I felt. And I kept reaching out. And I began to say no to things that I didn't want and yes to things that I wanted. And the only thing that sustained me, you asked to answer your question, I went deep inside and I found that inner voice, that spiritual voice that was saying, live, Helene. You have something to contribute. Keep going. It's not going to be easy, but you can do it. Reach out for help. And it wasn't like a cheerleader, folks, but those voices came inside me enough that I kept on going. And by the way, I've been maintaining over a 50-pound weight loss for a long time. It's one thing to take it off, but to keep it off. But what had happened, and I had another book out a few years ago called In Her Power, Reclaiming Your Authentic Self. What happened is I developed, and I talk about these inner muscles, the inner spiritual muscles I kept developing. And what expanded from that is that I started to do things I never thought I was capable of doing. I got terrific jobs. I kept going. During the recession of the 80s, my friend said, don't leave this quote-unquote secure job. We all know that there's nothing secure. But I had a dream. I sound like Martin Luther King now. My dream was to really create a multimedia company, to create television that would empower women and girls. That was always deep. The way I had been empowered, that's what I wanted to do. And some very interesting things happened, Zena. So there's more than meets the eye. The years kept going. I don't want to say like it just happened like that. I actually met a guy, got married, got divorced, met someone else, had my son, who now was...
Which is pretty much my history, too, so that's funny.
Okay. And he was a little baby, and I had had a corporate job, and I left during a time where it was very insecure for people. My friends thought I was nuts. How can you leave having a job? And I just had this deep, burning desire to make a difference with women and girls. So I had my son. I carried him, what is it, a holster or something? Do you remember how we used to carry the kids? So I carried him, and I knew nothing about creating television, but I knew that's what I was supposed to do. So I went, at the time, there was something called the School of Media Arts in New York City, and I went to them, and I said, I'm good in sales and marketing. I can help you if you let me take every course that I can take, and I made a deal. And I figured if Barbara Walters could do it, she had been in advertising and then went into TV, why not me?
Absolutely.
But I didn't really know what was going to happen through the years.
Yeah.
And so my first shows, I would go with my son holding him and I'd talk to people. And one of my earliest shows, the first year, was called Treating Breast Cancer, A Woman's Choice. And no one at that time were doing shows on breast cancer. So this is many years ago. And talk about something greater than yourself. That first year, I was nominated for a national Emmy. It was CNN Newsroom, Good Morning America, and me.
Oh my
and
God.
There was one other, I can't remember what it was, in my category. And how did that happen? All I know is that, and we've talked about this, I had a burning desire. I had a passion
to make it. And a mission to serve.
And a mission to serve. And look at what happened. And I just want to mention one other thing. About a year ago, and you know this, Sina, because we've talked, I have a website, womenworking.com, and I have a Facebook presence, womenworking.com. And we had thousands of people coming to us. And then I took a little vacation. I was going up to Kripalu, you know,
yoga
retreat center in New York.
Yeah.
And I, in Massachusetts, actually, and I saw that our Facebook numbers started to jump. And I asked the people in my office, what's going on? What are we doing different? You know, because it was jumping in a good direction.
Yeah.
Within 3 to 4 days, it went from 11,000 people following us to 5 million people talking about us. I mean, it was crazy.
What was the...
everyone wants to know all these marketers.
Well, no, it's not... So when something goes viral, it's resonating.
And I think we've been sustaining, you know, this kind of following for a year. Not 5 million.
Yeah.
It fluctuates, but millions.
Yeah.
See, what I think it was, you know, I've told all these marketers because they've asked me, what was it that you were doing?
Well, it's authenticity, obviously.
I knew I had to care. And I had a good brand for many years.
Yeah.
But, folks, whatever sense of a higher self you have, I believe the higher self is the highest part of me. I asked to be used in a deeper way. I asked to go out there in a bigger way. And I didn't know how that was going to happen. Mm. And so when I saw that bumping, and you want to know something? There's no one better than me to do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not just doing this superficially.
Yeah.
I believe, Sina, and I know you believe this too, the world is in a crazy place these days.
Absolutely.
And we need more women stepping up at every level. Government, corporations, nonprofits, we don't want to blow ourselves up. We need women alongside the men. And that's why your new imprint and all the wonderful work you're doing is so important.
I just interviewed Shiza, the co-founder of the Malala Fund, and she's 25. And when I hear her speak about empowered women, and I know that we can do it because when women step into their power, men follow us. And it's not an either or. It's not a power struggle. It's not a fight. It's really a balance. So as more and more women are, you know, people are saying, well, where's the, you know, how do you get balance or regaining balance? You know, balance is the big word right now for women who work and women who have families. I think the balance, the big question is, how do we balance the male and female energies in the world?
Inside ourselves. Exactly.
And you know, because everything starts within us. There is nothing out there. And how all the work that we do on the inside of our hearts and in our spiritual paths and in our practice becomes apparent in our world soon after we, you know, as long as we stick with it long enough. And I'm with you. I think that if women can step into the role of power, or not necessarily power, but the role of stepping up to the plate, having the courage to say, hey, I'm good at this, I want to be paid, or hey, I'm good at this, I want to head this up. And like you've said already, you said, well, I'm a successful woman. If not me, who? This is confidence that women are scared of.
This is
but
something.
This is fabulous.
Yes, this is very fabulous. And that's why when I talk to women, I talk to loads of women around the world, when I talk to them, I talk about claiming your accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. You know, many of us were brought up to be nice, you
Absolutely.
Know, to, but I believe false modesty doesn't work in business. And I think we also have access to intuition.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, when I have a new book, I have two books coming out. Zina will tell you about the book that's right in front of her.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. But I have another book coming out in March for Women's History Month, and it's about women and confidence. And for that book, one of my chapters is on intuition. And for that book, we actually looked at the research on intuition, and I thought intuition would be used more by women in the workplace. And you want to know? that's not what's happening. Mm. Women and men use it equally, and the determining factor is how high up you are on the totem pole, because you probably have to make decisions very quickly, and you're going to go to your gut response.
Got it. And you're leading a group of employees, so you don't want to let them down, so you have to go with the first instinct and
go with
lead
your
them.
But your gut instincts, Zena, are usually right.
Oh, always.
With people like you and I, we connected immediately, and I've done things, and I don't even know why I'm doing it, but it just feels right.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, I am redefining confidence. See, confidence with a big C, and I hear this from a lot of women. I need more skills. I need more contacts. Maybe I want to feel like it's not going to fail. But that kind of confidence doesn't exist. And when I interviewed many women leaders, many business leaders, corporate leaders, and I asked them their story, one woman said something. She said she would go for things, and she used this as an analogy, even if her knees were shaking. And she would even, she thought of, why not wear a long skirt? No one will see. And when I speak to these leaders, they go for things, and they have the queasy stomachs.
Absolutely.
And me too in my own career. But so my definition of confidence is moving forward when you think you can make a difference. You're not sure of the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this, listeners. Even if your knees are shaking.
Yeah.
In other words, you're out of your comfort zone, and it doesn't feel comfortable, but that doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Changemaker with Zena Muzyka.
I think the comfort zone is actually the danger zone. I think complacency is what gets us. I think playing it safe is actually, it creates a small footprint.
And a small life.
And I'm actually a big fan of doing things that I've never done before that will blow my mind, because I grew up in a pretty poor family in a really tough neighborhood.
Where did you grow up?
In a little California town called Lompoc. And my family were immigrants, and, well, my grandparents, and my dad, you know, was really shy, and he definitely had the immigrant thing going. And I remember thinking, well, in this situation, I'm not going to get to go to college. In this situation, I'm not going to get to, you know, and so I started striving for more unique experiences. Like, I joined a church group, and I got to go to church camp, and I didn't have money for it, so I cleaned the bathrooms at the church all summer. And, you know, I think that if our listeners could actually see that if you're too comfortable in your life, you're in the danger zone.
Yeah.
And you're...
I love that. And you know what? That should be a title of a book.
Okay.
In the Danger Zone. No, seriously.
Yeah.
Because it's so important.
Yeah.
That I wrote a book, Smart Risk Taking for Women, mm-hmm. because women tend to pull back, and we need to take those calculated risks.
I want to talk to you about something. So I started my last multimillion-dollar business, which started out with $6.
Listen to how she says that, folks.
Well,
her last multimillion.
Well,
this is
going to
be the first.
No, you're giving me confidence.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Even in our last interview, I felt myself becoming more confident. So you're mentoring
Good.
Me, and
Good.
I appreciate that.
Good.
And so...
And you don't have to feel comfortable. See, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, because it's uncomfortable for me to claim all of this.
That's right. Or new behavior doesn't feel comfortable. But that means you're doing everything right.
Okay.
Right?
Well, thank you.
In the danger zone.
So you're coaching me, and
okay,
I love it.
Okay, good.
Well, there's a similarity, and I want to bring it back to something that I've been researching and working on. So I had sage in a baby carrier at my tea cart when I was selling tea off the cart. I had him in my first meeting with Whole Foods. I had him everywhere. I mean, I didn't have a babysitter, and I had to build the business with him. You had your son when you went and said, I will sell, I'll do whatever it takes, but I want to take the classes.
Yeah.
And I hear a lot of women today in, I mean, we're recording this in New York, but I live in small town California and in Santa Barbara, Ventura area. And what a lot of women say is, well, but I want to have kids, so I'm probably not going to go for that. I can't believe that's still happening. And I say, well, because you're going to have kids, you're almost destined to be the most successful person I know. Because kids actually bring blessings, and they force you to do the best time management on the history in the history of the world. And so you have the same situation. Tell me what your theories are on parenting and...
Well, I'm also in the workplace a lot, so I see what's going on. There's a wonderful woman who started an organization called Families and Work Institute. People in the corporate workplace know this. And her name is Ellen Galinsky. And years ago, she said this, and I'd like you to think about this too, Zena. She said, let's not use the word balance anymore.
Yeah, of course.
Let's use the word navigating work life. So, you know, the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems is not appreciating how talented we are, being loaded with guilt.
Yeah.
And guilt, as far as I'm concerned, serves no purpose. In fact, sometimes if you're feeling guilty, you're doing something right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There is no easy answer. Ellen's group has grown and grown because this is when I started years ago, they used to say family navigating work life was a soft issue where other issues are hard, profitable issues. But no, this is it.
It's
talent. But what I see and what works for you, Zena, may not work for me, it may not work for someone else. But there are ways that you can navigate this work-life issue. And I've seen people leave corporations because of stress load.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of women stay. There are compromises that need to be made. And nothing is for certain. In other words, what you did 5 years ago may be something totally different because your needs change.
Absolutely.
So to answer your question, I'm going to just throw out that there are no easy answers. Mm-hmm. And this is something individuals have to take a look at themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know, I truly believe that everyone on this planet has a spiritual purpose.
Agreed.
Now, it might not be in the workplace, it might be something else. But I know that, I think Marianne Williamson says something in one of her quotes, that the real tragedy is when we're not using our talents and gifts.
Yeah.
And I've been out there, I've spoken to thousands of women, and what I see are such talented women out there. But because there's so much stress, people are afraid of losing jobs. We're doing three things, and you're giving me a fourth thing, just like we were talking about before. So people are off the mark a little bit, and I try to bring them back on the mark.
Let's talk.
Let me just finish one other thing. No such thing as perfection.
Yeah.
That's what women sometimes buy into. There's just, I mean, there is no such thing as perfection. Confidence with a big C is, forget it. That's the title of my book, The Confidence Myth. It's not there. Talent is real and true. We all have it. And right now, in what we do, we have enough contacts and enough talent to take a step outward. And what you said before is exactly right. The danger zone is when we don't.
Yeah. I appreciate what you're talking about, in because you're changing a language, you're re-languaging things, you know, that confidence is a myth. And I love that because it turns it on its head. And I'd like to, like, guilt. So if guilt is a signal that you're going in the right direction, you know, you know, this ability that being scared and shaking in your boots and all of that,
your
going
knees
in the
shaking,
right direction.
Right.
So all of that. So I like how you're re-languaging things to actually open up the conversation in a way that, that liberates us and says, yes, you have all of this, but the difference is do you move past it or do you let it...
Exactly. Wait. Do you let it stop you,
yeah,
or do you move with it? Because
I have it daily. I have it all the time.
We all do.
I mean, I woke up this morning, my boss at Simon & Schuster, Judith Kerr, who I adore, last night she took me to the ballet and we were talking. She said, oh yeah, tomorrow at 9:30, we're going to have a company-wide, you're going to intro your new imprint to everybody at Atria. And I was like, oh my God, like, I didn't prepare for it. I don't have a PowerPoint. I didn't have any of that.
You have you.
Yeah. Well, and I want people to know that I sat this morning and I meditated and I said, okay, I'm scared of doing this. I'm in a completely different industry. Tea is different than media by far.
Yeah, but you put together tea just based on what your grandmother had given you.
But I want everyone to know, because all my friends on Facebook are like, oh, you're so successful. It's not, there is never a point
where you don't feel it.
Yeah, where you get on a plateau and go, oh yeah, I'm successful, life is easy. I always feel like I'm starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Always.
And I interviewed for the Confidence book. I interviewed the COO of one company, the CEO of another company, the CFO of another company, and it's the same story. So no one has it. But look at you. You had the fear. You have a passion because you think you can make a difference. You're not 100% sure, but you're going for it.
I know what my purpose is.
And you know your purpose.
That's it.
And you're ready to go out there in an authentic way.
Absolutely.
And let people know. Because I've had many young women come to me, and they'll say to me, Helene, you know, I have a new job, and I love it, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm not sure of what I'm doing. And they look at me, and I can read past that. What they're thinking is that they're doing something wrong.
Aww.
And I say to them, you're not doing anything wrong. You're doing everything right. You're out of your comfort zone. How is it supposed to feel? And I totally agree. We don't discuss the book In Her Power, mm-hmm, I talk about the discomfort of change, that what real courage is the ability to stay with the discomfort of change. In our society, it's a society of comfort. We numb ourselves.
Absolutely.
With food, we do this.
Television, media. So when I found my purpose, and I taught a purpose course on Simon, I'll do my little plug, simonsays.com. I have a How to Find Your Purpose and Live It course. When I found my purpose, it was really simple. And it motivated me.
What is your purpose?
To serve and inspire. And I realized when I'm serving others, I'm not self-conscious. When I'm serving others and making it about other people, I'm fearless and I'm capable of anything. When I'm serving my own, like when I'm self-care.
When you're listening to your mind.
self-care and service, self-care is required. We must care for ourselves or we'll burn ourselves out and hurt ourselves. But serving others is actually, and then to inspire. So that's what led me into media. So I was serving tea and serving the world and working to end poverty for tea workers. But I wanted to inspire more people to know that they have the power to do the same thing in whatever form it's going to be, in a neighborhood meeting or in a national
stage. See, this
stage.
Is when I said that. A year and a half ago, is when my social media went viral. It went,
what was the question you asked again? I loved how you worded that. Please.
And it wasn't to something out there, folks. For me,
internal.
It was more of the higher self in me. I felt very connected to people around the world, and I said, how can I be more of service? Let me show me. And I didn't know what was going to happen. And I speak to a lot of people just starting out. And the thing that I think makes us so successful, Zena, and I've heard this in your story, is there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of frustration. It's just the name of the game. It's the human condition. You're going out, you're doing something new, you don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. But what trumps fear, and I don't believe fear isn't there. For me, there's no such thing as fearlessness. Everything I do, I feel the fear, but I love that other book, but I do it anyway.
Yeah.
But what trumps fear, what's more powerful than fear, is to be of service.
Yeah.
And when I think my mission is to empower women and girls worldwide, that's
Absolutely.
My mission. When I think of that, I can have a very frustrating day, yell to all my girlfriends, mm-hmm. go in and take, I love mm-hmm. baths, I take a lot of, it's anxiety, it lessens the anxiety. But then in the end, what it's like for me, and I think I might have mentioned this to you, I have a purpose, and when I try to stuff it down, you know, with whatever my mind talk is, the negative mind talk, it pops up like a jack in the box. So I just take the next right action. And what I would say to people out there who don't have a purpose or are not in touch, first of all, I want to say you probably do have that purpose. And it probably was something that you were aware of, possibly you had images of when you were a child. And for whatever reason, you might have stuffed it down or put it away or was told not to do it.
Or you can't make a living at it or...
Whatever the negative mind talk. And what I would say is have the courage to step out in a new way. Have the courage. You know, women tend to not... We're so good for everyone else, right? We take care of our families, we take care of the office, and we put reflecting time for ourselves mm-hmm. last on the list. Have the courage to give yourself maybe 15 minutes in the day. If you're not meditating, I meditate in the morning. I don't know how I could live in New York City if I didn't meditate.
Oh, it's perspective. it's the perspective pill, basically.
Yeah, whatever meditation. It is. Yeah. People do yoga, people yeah. dance, people go to the gym, whatever your thing is. But give yourself the gift of maybe 10 to 15 minutes a day. Allow yourself to connect. Zena, you probably could lead them into ways of connecting a little bit with that purpose.
Yeah, we thought about adding a little meditation practice in each of these. So maybe I'll jump on that and do that. Because without my meditation, I would have probably burnt myself. I don't know what I would do without it. It is my lifeline. And a friend of mine, he became a friend, but he's a Sikh, and he came in as a consultant to the tea company in the early days, and he said, "My God, girl," he said, "you're a blender without a top." He's like, "You need to contain mm-hmm. your energy so that you can be in it for the long haul. And the way to do that is this." And he gave me some meditation practices, and that truly was when success started coming, was I learned how to contain my brain and harness the energy and the focus of it and connect it to my heart and then move forward. And that is what I that's everything. I mean, that is my secret to success.
Exactly. And for people out there that might not know their purpose, how would you tell them to start getting more in touch with
it? Well, I look at patterns of happiness. So I look at I reflect back. I keep a journal, and that is one thing that you can do in 5 to 10 minutes a day is, you know, just start writing. And if I ever have a question that's pending in my mind, like, oh my God, how am I going to get all of this done? I'll write that at the top of my journal page, and then I'll answer it. And I let my second sight come in, my inner guides, you know, come in and speak through my hand. And basically, by the time I'm done writing a few pages in my journal, I have all the answers I need, and the next step is clear.
So what I'm hearing Zena say, which is I understand too, but for people out there that may not be as in touch, that
ask
there's
a question and then write.
And right. And there is an intuitive sense
Everyone
in all
it.
Of us.
If we
stop long enough to listen, it's there. That voice that told me at 21,
Absolutely.
Don't hurt yourself, Helene. Yeah. Don't jump out of that window.
Absolutely. And the voice, okay, so when I was little, I set up my parents' 8-track and cassette tapes, and I got everything together and I rewired it and made a radio station in my room. I never said, oh, I'm going to go. And it's crazy because I'm at CBS now recording this, and that is, I want to reflect back for everyone listening too, is the hints you had as a child and regaining the innocence to have beginner's mind again, to go back and say, oh, but I was like, well, but I don't know anything about radio. And the first episode I did with Rhonda Britton, I had to go into the studio in LA, and they were like, so, you know, where have you broadcasted before? And here's all the equipment. Oh, you know how to use this, right? And I was like, oh my God, I don't know how to use anything in here. But have the compassion for yourself to be able to go back to beginner's mind and be a child again to rediscover that purpose. And everyone will jump in to help you.
No, that's absolutely beautiful. And I would say to women, too, mm-hmm. that have the courage to take a look at what your real desires are. Because, as I said, we're so used to doing for other people,
yeah.
we lose touch with what we really desire and want. And at every stage of our lives,
yeah.
it may change.
Yeah. There's a practice, and I'll let us wrap up. But there's a practice that Gay and Katie Hendricks, they're my mentors, gave me, and it's the two files, and you basically create two files, two pieces of paper, and it's can control, can't control. So on one piece of paper, you write down all the things you can control. On the other piece of paper, you write down all the things you cannot control. And it's the practice of the two files. I mean,
you use your energy to what you can control.
Exactly. And you let all the other stuff go. And it ends up getting so small and fading away, and nothing is really that important once you realize, oh, I can't control it. But you have a written reminder where you say, oh, can't control that. Oh, well.
Good.
Yeah.
Let's go on to something else.
Exactly.
I just want to tell the name of the book.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Time for Me, Simple Pleasures for Women Who Do Too Much by Helene Lerner. This is available on Amazon.com
and also simpletruth.com. And if you use Helene, all caps, you will get a discount on simpletruths.com.
I'll put this on Facebook and everything.
It's wonderful.
It is such a gorgeous gift yeah. book. Like, I want to give it to everyone.
It was written from
desk.
My heart. And
you
I think
tell.
It's all the things that are needed. And please look for the confidence book in March. It's called The Confidence Myth, Why Women Undervalue Their Skills, and folks, how to get over it.
Yeah, I think that book's going to hit it.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a big book, Helene.
Yeah,
I'll do everything I can to make
thank
sure.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll come back.
Yeah. So womenworking.com is Helene's awesome website. There are a ton of resources. Her blog is fantastic. She has a radio show on Unity FM, and hopefully you'll get a podcast with us on CBS.
I would love to.
And she's a public speaker and a true mentor for goddesses worldwide who are just waiting to step into the light of their own power.
So. And I want to say one thing about Zena. Folks, Zena is the real thing. She is the real thing. She
You're making speaks, me blush.
She speaks from the heart, and that's
Thank
what
you.
We need more of. Thank you, Zena, for having me
Thank
here.
Thank you. And for more information about Changemaker, you can go to my Facebook page, Zhena. You can go to my Twitter feed, at Mistress of Tea, and I hope that this has inspired you and that you are on the path to finding your purpose. All the best.